Hello. Hello to all of you. Creep into the 5 o'clock hour. Before we're out of here today, the battle has now been won on, you know, that philosophical and hypothetical question. Is it better to be way too hot or way too cold? I've come to the conclusion that I've formed a conclusion as to that, for sure. For once and for all, I'm done with that debate. Not that you have it all the time, but every once in a while you do have that. I'm finished with it, and I'll let you know. But just as important, I read a story today about scanners, those self-scanners at checkouts, at grocery stores. It's ridiculous, and it's an indictment on society, what's happening. Okay, how about this lady? So, give a listen to this. The Supreme Court says, the Supreme Court of the United States, they're not getting involved in states' regulation of vanity license plates. They said, no, we don't want any part of this. You guys figure it out on your own accord. We're not doing this as the Supreme Court. And here's where it comes into question. This is wild to me. So, states' regulations of vanity license plate, they've rejected an appeal from this Tennessee woman challenging the rejection of her controversial, are you ready what her license plate reads? 69PWNDU, which I'm not up on the lingo, except the first part, the numerics, the numbers. But anyhow, so the court argued the state's rules for what is and isn't allowed on personalized license plates are often unclear. The woman argued that, I should say, and can amount to a dizzying array of censorship. She's mad about this. She wanted the court to find that she's expressing her own views through a vanity license plate, not the government's, a decision that would have limited states' ability to control the message. States that sell these vanity license plates, like Pennsylvania, can prohibit images such as Confederate flags, the Supreme Court ruled in a 5-4 decision. States have long used license plates in this country to convey government messages, Justice Stephen Breyer wrote for the majority. But this lady, her name's Leah Gilliam in Tennessee. Her attorneys argued judges have disagreed about whether the same is true for the combination of letters and numbers on personalized license plates. A car owner's First Amendment speech rights change when she moves states, because their argument is this, that the same personalized plate appears on cars in Maryland, Oregon, Rhode Island, Kentucky, and it might be banned in one state. So it's ridiculous. Now, Tennessee initially approved her request for a personalized license plate that read 69PWNDU. She said the letters referenced pwned you, an online gamer phrase meaning to beat an opponent, whatever. The numbers, she initially said, reflected part of her phone number and were not a sexual reference. Okay, lady. She also later said she's an astronomy buff and 69 refers to the year of the moon landing. Again, okay, lady. But the state received a complaint 11 years after allowing the plate and later told her it's going to be revoked because it referred to sexual domination. First, there's a couple things at play here. I mean, there's a lot at play here. One, if you call the state because you are jammed up what somebody's license plate says, you're the biggest Karen. You're the president of the Karen Club. Maybe president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer of the Karen Club. If you see somebody's license plate and it's one of those vanity plates and it offends you, like here in Pennsylvania, and you take the you know how hard it is to get in touch with somebody in Harrisburg? And you take the time to get in touch with somebody in Harrisburg and say, hey, I was driving down McKnight Road. Somebody had 69 on their vanity plate. That offends me. I want it out. I want it gone. Yada, yada. You got to figure out something to do with your time. So that's the first thing. The second is this, though, and this is the bigger thing with these vanity plates. I'm all for people being able to write whatever they want. How about this? I don't care if people write the F word on vanity plates. Here's why. Now, bear with me. You could disagree, but this is how I feel about these vanity plates. You tell on yourself if you're a goofball. It's just like a t-shirt. You ever see these people walking around? And now, in a lot of places, they don't allow it at, like, amusement parks, whatever, because there could be kids. Okay, that's fine. Driving around the street, yeah, there sure could be kids, but they're not fixated on what a license plate says. And there's not a huge concentration of kids anywhere somebody drives. But let's say your license plate has the F word or the S word or whatever. That immediately triggers my radar that you're a total goofball. And so I know I can cross you off my list of anybody I really want to interact with. So I think we should allow these things. I think denying people the ability to have whatever they want on their license plate makes me potentially interact with you more to find out about you, just like a t-shirt. If I see somebody walking through the strip and they got the F word written on their t-shirt, I go, see that idiot? Idiot. Nobody who really values what people think about them wears a t-shirt with the F word on it. They just don't. I don't think so. So guess what? Guy, lady, whatever, they're off my list. I'm not even contemplating interacting with them. Essentially, they've told on themselves. They've advertised that they're a total knucklehead, not worth your time. This would eliminate a lot if we just had these vanity plates, no restrictions. Write whatever the hell you want to write on it. Go ahead. Dirtiest words imaginable. Now, it would make it kind of funny whenever they got pulled over and the police had to call it in to dispatch, and then the dispatch would have to read it back. That'd make it funny when I was sitting in the newsroom getting ready for my show and it would come over the scanner, F this, F that, or whatever. Other than that, the fact that they restrict them is silly. And I'll tell you what, the argument is actually a pretty good one, because some states, this word's offensive. Some states, it's not. Some states, this phrase can be deemed offensive. Other states, it's not. And it's really up for interpretation, and that interpretation goes state to state, and it's not universal at all. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. Just like a bumper sticker. Let people put whatever the hell they want on their bumper stickers, and then when there's a bunch of F words, I go, see that car? Goofball. Don't ever go anywhere near that person. And it makes my life easier. I can figure them out a lot simpler. All right, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. How about this?
For the Indianapolis Colts, it seems what's old is new. I'm Allison Keys.
Yeah, what's old is new. What's old is new for the Indianapolis Colts. Phillip Rivers, 44 years old. So this is incredible. He's returning to the Colts, 5 years in retirement, and Daniel Jones, that Achilles injury. And I don't want to talk a ton about football, but it's fascinating. He looked kind of bemused and excited as he gave that press conference. I look at this, and it's pretty easy. It's simple. If you may not have liked Phillip Rivers during his first go-round, okay? But, and I don't tell other people how to think. I just kind of feel this one about it. Anytime there's a story like this, unless you're a total jerk, and he isn't a total jerk, I don't think. Some think he's a little bit of a jerk. He instantly becomes one of the easiest guys to root for. I think he does. Especially, all right, if you're a man who's 40 plus, you watch this intently, and you go, okay, can this guy still get it done against those young bucks? And it's a really fair way to look at things. I wasn't a big Phil Rivers fan when he played. I thought he was a decent mixture, though, of cocky and confident, but it was what it was. But in this second go-round of Phil Rivers, this part of his career, this whole situation he has going on, I will be his biggest fan. because you kind of want that story. Not that the NFL doesn't have good stories right now, but you got a 44-year-old guy going out there trying to compete quite literally against people half his age. It's not hyperbole. That's not exaggeration. There are gentlemen who are half his age he's trying to compete against. So often these stories will go, and there's not a lot of time where these stories kind of happen. It feels to me like this will be an all or nothing story. Like he will be really, really good, lead them to wins. Everybody will go, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. Or he'll get obliterated. They'll take him out on a gurney. Not that he'll be hurt bad. He'll say, why the hell did I ever do this? It's the worst thing ever. And he'll really regret the decision. Like, there's not going to be a lot of middle ground to all of this. Man. But I have instantly become a fan of Philip Rivers through all of this. You know what? I want to see him succeed. I do. I've come. And does it make you think about, could Ben Roethlisberger still do this? It kind of does for me. Coming up next, you know what I want to talk about in a little bit? I read a story about those self-checkout scanners. People are jerks. No two ways about it. All right, here we go. This is a concerning... is it a concerning story? Or is it one that's par for the course for some people? I don't know. Like, okay, so I do a decent amount of shopping, okay? Now, I do some shopping where it's Amazon or whatever gets delivered to the house. But I still go to Aldi, I go to Target, I go to places like Trader Joe's, places like that. Now, Trader Joe's is out of this list because they don't have self-checkout. At least the Trader Joe's I go to. I don't know if there's Trader Joe's self-checkout in other places, but Aldi is a good example here. And this is, it's scary in a way, I think. So there's this study that came out. It came out earlier this week. I was going to get to this earlier this week, but there was just a ton going on. Self-checkout. I'm going to read this. Self-checkout may save time at the store, but a growing number of shoppers admit they've also used it to steal. This is fascinating to me. Among Americans who've used self-checkout, 27%, so more than a quarter of people, more than one in four people, say they've intentionally taken an item without scanning it. And that's up from 15% just back in 2023, which isn't that long ago at all. Millennials, 41%, Gen Z adults, 37%, were the most likely to admit to stealing at self-checkout. And mind you, these are just the people, one, that they surveyed, and two, who admitted it. While only 2% of baby boomers say the same. Men, 38%, were twice more likely than women at 16% to say they've stolen. When asked why they stole, 47%, it's about half, said the current financial climate has made it difficult to afford essentials. Nearly as many, 46%, cited higher prices, including increases they attributed to tariffs, and many, 39%, said today's prices feel unfair, too high in general. So I guess you just steal it and take it. This is wild. So about a third of those who've stolen said they don't feel remorseful at all. And a similar number, about 35%, see self-checkout as unpaid work. So taking small items feels like compensation. Like they're being compensated for having to run it through the scanner. This is wild to me. Now, Aldi shoppers in the Chicago area recently noticed that some of the stores removed self-checkout, prompting them to be frustrated because, well, they can't steal anymore. And Dollar General said last year it removed self-checkout from 12,000 stores, citing ongoing thefts. First of all, I am mortified if, like, I'll get blueberries or strawberries or something, you know, milk, whatever it is at Aldi. And it'll have a weird place, or bananas, weigh your bananas, it says. I'll be mortified whenever there's a QR code on it, or some, not QR code, a barcode. And I'll go to push it through, and you normally hear, boop, just like that. Boop. If I don't hear the boop that one time, I'm like maneuvering it around, contorting it, pressing it against the screen, doing all this stuff. You know why? I do not even want the thought that I'm trying to take it. Seriously. Because you know you're on camera. Like, right in front of you. Whenever you step up to that thing, number one, I think it tells you. But number two, your full-on face is, like, right there. It just is. Plain as day, right there. And it's a pretty high-quality camera, too. Like, there's no way you can mix it up for, well, they'll mix you up with somebody else. The other thing, too, and right in this thing is it's mortifying. There's no other way to put it. A third of those who steal, more than that, 35%, say they don't feel remorseful because it feels like unpaid work and they should be compensated for it. That's the justification for people. Like, they're standing up for the man who got put out of work by the machine. There's sometimes you read stories, or I read stories, or I'll research for the show. And I'll say, all right, humanity's falling apart. Or am I making too much of this? Or is this just good for talk show fodder? This was a big survey, a big study. Over 10,000 people. And that many people say, hell with it. Who cares? You owe it to us. It's not show. Humanity is falling apart if people think they could just take something. Now, there is a threshold where I will try for a while, actually, before I call the human over. Okay? Like, I will try 5, 6, 7 times. And what I'll even do, I'll take that item that the barcode wasn't working and put it aside and say, I'll come back to that later. And then, and I'll do like 4 more things. And I'll even put that to last. And I'll wait and call the person over and say, hey, if you need me to go back and get a different one of the same exact item, I'll do it. And normally what happens is they put their little card that they have dangling from them on one of those squiggly things. They put it up against the screen. It beeps. Then they type in some code and they're like, here you go. And it comes up 289 for whatever the thing is. I don't want to get the human involved any more than I ever need to, but there is no way it crosses my mind to say, hey, you know what? Computer isn't working right, or I'm just lazy about this, or hell, you're making me work and I'm not being compensated. Let's just drop these bananas right in the bag here, because that's my take. That's my cut for packaging this all up. We're lost as a society here if we're just taking stuff. Now, this is interesting in that I wonder where this is in 10 years. Like, I wonder in looking at it how if this trend continues, there's no way these stores can continue to absorb this much loss. They can't. So, interestingly, though, in this situation, household incomes of $100,000 or more were the most likely to say they've intentionally taken an item without scanning it. Just 17% of those making less than $30,000 said the same. That says a lot about suburbia, says a lot about entitlement, says a lot about idiots who feel they're bigger than it. I honestly think it's not. I think that there's more to it in terms of people feeling a sense of frustration with the machine. And they're like, I don't have time for this. And then they just take it. More so than they set out to take it. That's how it feels to me. I might be dead wrong about that. But that's how it feels to me. See, I don't get frustrated by it. It's a machine. It's how it is. It's how it's going to work. But we need a total reset, man. We just do. If people think, well, I'm just going to put it in a bag, and take it. I'm sure I bothered you, though, with a boop, boop. That sounds pretty good, comparatively. I'm not going to bore you with that much, much more. But that blew me away. The amount of people who think, I'll just take it, for whatever reason. All right, back to it. A couple more minutes on this Wednesday. And, like, cold, dreary, rainy, all that. I'm not somebody, you know this, who talks about the weather all that much. But I do want to get into this. This is like a cliched what if, barroom talk. One of those things. If you had to spend the rest of your life in a really warm, like oppressively warm or oppressively cold climate, what would it be? Over the last couple days, especially like yesterday and the day before, when in the morning when I woke up, it was like, honestly, you look at the car and, you know, people always send out those pictures of their readout, the temperature gauge on their car. It was like 7 degrees, freezing cold, right? But people talk about this every once in a while. Like, if you had to, would you rather be really cold or really warm? And some people are like, I've gone back and forth on this, but I finally arrived at a decision. And it just hit me, I think, yesterday morning. I have now, and maybe it's me getting old, because, you know, like old people, it can be 70 degrees and they have a light jacket on. I have finally arrived at, give me oppressive heat. I want to live on the equator before I even want to deal with 30-degree temperatures. That's where I am. And it comes down to this. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting, my blood is changing. Or again, maybe I'm getting, you know, old. And it is what it is. I can't put enough clothes on and shake that morning cold. Like, my bones stay cold. I've been cold all day today. I got a warm shower. Got out of the shower, was steaming, felt hot. It was all good. At least I thought so. And then it wasn't. And I've not been shivering. And I don't have a cold. I'm not ill at all. But I can't get warmed up. If I am in a warm locale and it's super hot, I would rather sweat my backside off at this point. And here's what I think. And again, I have gone back and forth with this throughout my life. I am now 100% on the gimme heat. They say sometimes, well, you can always put clothes on. You can't necessarily always take your clothes off. I mean, unless you're, patronizing a nude beach. And I'm not patronizing a nude beach anytime soon. Do you know Ron Cook used to go to a nude beach in Florida? I'm not joking about that. He said that on the air. Anyway, so they say you can always put clothes on. You can only take so many clothes off. I'll take my chances. Honestly, I have, the older I've gotten, become much more comfortable as the mercury has risen. It used to be a pain in the backside for me, and I used to be like oppressively hot when it was like 91 degrees. Then I'm like, it's 90 out. This isn't bad. Now it's like, it's 93 out. That's it? 93. But it doesn't feel too bad. Then it's like those days where it's 95. And I'm like, it's starting to get a little bit. But now, on the flip side of it, I used to be somebody I'd sled ride, be outside, shovel the snow, do all that for hours upon end. As long as my hands were covered, my head was covered, and I had a decent jacket on, I'd be fine. I'm out there now 5 minutes. And I'm like, this sucks. It's got to be just be me getting old. Maybe there's no two ways about it, but that's what it is. And man, there's a couple of those things that once the bridge is crossed to you getting old, you start to realize you're never going back. Like when your back gets creaky, when you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night 200 times, all of that. And I've not experienced many of these things. The wanting it to be warm all the time experience. I feel like I'm there with this. Like, that's one of the things where I have now crossed the bridge. I'm never going back. I'm going to want it to be warmer and warmer and warmer and deal with the cold less and less and less. And the proof is this. The average age in Florida is like 107. So I'm getting there. Man, screw this cold. Whew. Good job on this Wednesday.